Who's to know if your soul will fade at all? The one you sold to fool the world. You lost your self-esteem along the way.
Good God, you're coming up with reasons. Good God, you're dragging it out. Good God, it's the changing of the seasons. It feels so raped. So follow me down and just fake it.
I'm your host, Jason Dyer. Well, it's been a while after I said I would be regular, but I had a few things happen. Family problems, grandfather passed away. A lot of things going on in life, so it has delayed, you know, episodes. So, hope you will forgive me. Like I said last time, I'll try to be regular with things, but, you know, you never know what happens in real life. I apologize if I sound a little bit different. My regular headset just kind of shitted out about a few minutes ago, so I had to use my backup pair, and the microphone isn't the greatest in the world, but hopefully you'll bear with me, all 12 listeners that are still around, I'm sure. I've lost most of you from all these kind of delays, but there's been a few people that emailed me, so I appreciate it. So I hope you enjoyed the show. For you out there who are wondering about the little avatar-type picture you find on iTunes or on the website, it is a picture I took just the other day of Cora's 20th birthday and her friends. I went to that little party, and I don't really know the kids that well. I just sort of go to support the girlfriend, you know. But most of them are all right. There's some that are really fucking annoying, but, you know, there's only, you got to do some of that shit when you're dating somebody. But I'm sure the guys out there will enjoy the chicks and bras and panties and, you know, titties all out. I'd like to talk about a movie I just watched a few hours ago. It's No Country for Old Men. I heard a lot of good things about this movie. James Brolin and Javier Bardem. I don't know how you say the dude's name. But a guy finds a drug money shootout, takes the drug money, and one of the crazy guys comes after him. and Javier plays the crazy guy that comes after him, and he plays a really good crazy guy. I thought the acting in this movie was pretty good. Started off kind of slow, but the middle, you know, the whole plot starts coming together. But I gotta say, at the end of this movie, there's no definitive answers to pretty much anything. I mean, they're like, they kind of point you in directions how things might have ended, but they don't actually show you, which pissed me off. I like movies with, you know, some sort of semblance of an ending, and this movie really didn't have it. I think the killing scenes were really good, the action was really good, the acting was really awesome, but the end of this movie I thought was pretty much shit. So, No Country for Old Men. I would say it's worth a rental, just for the acting in the movie, so everybody should check it out on DVD. I think it came out on DVD about a week ago. Last week I went to go see Doomsday. This has, what's his name? Bob Hodgkins, or... he's the dude who played the cop in Who Framed Roger Rabbit. And there's a couple other, like, character actors you've, like, seen around but don't really know their names. But basically the plot of this movie is, Scotland, this virus breaks out, so they quarantine Scotland 25 years go around later. The infection came to London, so they have to go back into Scotland and try to find a cure. But Scotland is overrun with, you know, crazy people and all that sort of shit. The acting is better than I expected. The action was really good. The plot gets very convoluted, but, you know, what do you expect out of this movie? But I think this movie is just a fun ride, just a fun popcorn movie. Just sit back, relax, has a lot of good kill scenes. A dude gets, like, roasted alive and eaten, so that was pretty cool. So I think it's worth a rental. I don't think you necessarily need to see it in the theater, but if you're an action fan, you know, it's worth a watch. Another movie I recently seen was Outpost. This is a B-horror movie about some mercenaries who get hired to do a mission in this war-torn Eastern European country. You find out that it's this Nazi bunker where they go into, and there's like a machine in there. And the machine was used for Nazi experiments to make super soldiers. And then, of course, the super soldiers are like weird zombie-type ghost things and start killing off the mercenaries. The acting, not so good. The writing, not so good. The plot, not so good. The action was pretty decent. They had some really cool kill scenes. One guy gets a shell casing shoved in his eye, and it, like, explodes his eye, so that was a pretty cool scene. But, you know, this is for strictly B-horror movie fans. If you're a fan of B-horror movies, you'll like this. It's worth a watch just for a couple of the kill scenes, but everybody else might not want to take a look at this. Alright, now we're going to talk about two movies which I heard were pretty good. So, off the recommendations, I went to... I got Walk the Line and Good Shepherd. Walk the Line is the Johnny Cash story, and like goes through his life, but this movie was so fucking boring. I had to turn it off after about half the movie. I mean, the movie just drags and drags and drags, and it's just so uninteresting. So I would say, you know, everybody fucking avoid Walk the Line. It's a bunch of bullshit. And The Good Shepherd is the fictional telling of the CIA's birth with Matt Damon in it. And I watched this movie the whole way through, but I was, like, waiting for something to happen, and nothing really ever happens. It was another fucking bore fest, so avoid The Good Shepherd and Walk the Line. Both those movies were bullshit. I picked up Surf's Up. This is the animated, like, a kid's movie about a penguin kid who enters a penguin surfing contest, and the voice is by Shia LaBeouf, and John Heder, the guy who plays Napoleon Dynamite, plays another plays the chicken in this movie. I thought this movie was actually one of the funniest movies I've seen in a while. I wouldn't have thought. I didn't really have high hopes for it, but it was surprisingly just a nice, you know, fun and easy movie to watch. You just sit back and relax and watch it. Always enjoy penguins, and the water effects in the animation I thought were some of the best CGI water effects I've ever seen. So I would say everybody pick up Surf's Up if you're a penguin fan. You know, it's kind of in the vein of The Incredibles, Ratatouille, that sort of deal. Definitely worth a pickup. I really, really enjoyed this movie. Another movie that I had a lot of fun with was Fido. Not a lot of people, I don't think, seen this movie. I think it was a straight-to-DVD. I don't think it ever came out. But it's basically a story, a 1950s-esque story about where this is a world where there was a zombie apocalypse, but it was fought back in about, like, the 40s and 50s. And now zombies are domesticated with these, like, control-type collars. And it goes about the story of this family and this little boy. It's kind of like a little boy and his dog, you know, little boy and Lassie sort of thing. But his dog is a zombie instead. It was a really cool take on a zombie film. You see some pretty cool deaths. You know, definitely some carnage, some limbs being ripped off, people being bit into. But also, like, this kind of weird, heartwarming story. So, definitely, Fido's a big pickup for any zombie fan. It's not really a horror movie. It's more like a comedy with some horror aspects. But I thought it does the movie real well. I think it was the most interesting zombie movie I've seen in a long time. Unfortunately, I watched The Queen, which I don't know why. It's about Queen Elizabeth, like around the time Princess Diana's death was. This was another movie I had to turn off about halfway through because it was fucking boring and uninteresting to me. So I would say The Queen, yeah, take a big shit on that. Really fucking boring movie. I watched a few episodes of Masters of Horror where they take, like, good horror directors and let them do their own one-hour episode. The first thing I saw was Jessica. I don't really remember who it was directed by, which I know is shitty, but this is like the ultimate tale of a girl with a butterface. If you don't know what a butterface is, it's all good butterface. So she has a hot body and an ugly-ass face. And this is like the ultimate tale. This cop shoots this guy who was going to kill a woman, goes up to the woman, and she has, like, a fucked-up, weird, alien-almost face with these, like, fangs. She's really, like, animalistic-looking in the face, but the body was, like, hot, and you see her tits all throughout the movie. And this cop gets, like, infatuated with her and fucks her and leaves his family for her and all this weird stuff. But I thought it was kind of interesting on that level. It's like every guy always says, you know, oh, that chick's hot from the behind, but you take a look and you see her face, and you're like, ah! And this was the ultimate story. Just for that aspect, I think it's worth a watch. The other episode I watched was Dear Woman, about a woman who has, funny enough, nice tits, but her lower half of her body is a deer. So she seduces these guys and, like, starts blowing them, and then starts... And then she kills them by, like, stomping them to death with her hooves. And it's based off of, like, a Native American sort of tale. And it's a story of two cops trying to find this mysterious deer woman killer. The director was, I think, John Landis. He did American Werewolf in London. He also did the Thriller video, if anyone remembers. But I thought this one was kind of funny. You see a nice pair of tits in it, so I think this is worth a watch. And the last Master of Horrors episode I watched was John Carpenter's Cigarette Burns. This is about a film aficionado hiring this guy who tracks down rare film memorabilia, who's in debt to this one guy for his theater. So this is a mad rush to find this film, which people watch this film, and they go like crazy and start killing other people, and weird shit starts going down surrounding this. There were some cool kill scenes, like a dude puts his intestines in a film reel and reels out his intestines, which was cool. But overall, I found this kind of boring. You know, there wasn't a whole lot to, I don't know, no humor like the other two. I don't think there was any nudity, which is always, you know, a drawback of things. So Cigarette Burns, not one of the best things John Carpenter's ever done. All right, let's talk a little bit more TV. I have Netflixed the first two seasons of Rome. I watched them all the way through. They're like a BBC / HBO production of the time of Julius Caesar. Then the second season is after Caesar's death and the power struggle between Mark Antony and other people. This is a very, very good series. I recommend this to anyone. The acting is really good. The plot is fantastic. It makes history very fun and accessible. There's lots of nice fighting and violence. There's titties. There's titties everywhere. Many, many titties. There's hardly an episode without many titties in it, which is always a plus. On the other hand, you might see some peni. There's some penis shots throughout and some man-ass shots, which is, you know, you might draw more people in, you know. I don't really know. Some people may feel uncomfortable about that, but I don't really give a shit either way. But overall, Rome Season 1 and 2, I give high praise to. I say everybody go out and find it on DVD. They have not renewed it for a third season, which I'm very disappointed about. So, you know, start emailing HBO saying you want more seasons of Rome, because that show's fucking awesome. Another show that just came back on, that was a bad segue because Rome just didn't come back on, but a show that came on nonetheless is Skins. I talked about it, 6 months ago or so. This is the second season about high school / college age kids. I think they're in college. I'm pretty sure they're in college. And what kind of mischief and adventures they get in. This is another show with titties in it. I think the acting's pretty good. I find it like a pretty like interesting high school college age drama. It's pseudo realistic, more realistic than, you know, other things you'll see on TV. So Skin Season 2 hasn't been a disappointment, just as good as Season 1, I thought. So the people in the UK, you can see that just on regular TV. The people in the US, you gotta wait till DVD, or, you know, you go on the internet and find it magically, I guess. Torrents, whatnot, you know. Alright, I'm going to talk a little bit about America, a little bit of politics. I don't know how much I'll get into. So if you're not really interested in that, you know, might get too heated, just fast forward a little bit. But I need a quick break to get the American juices flowing and get me hyped up for this.
I am a real American. Fight for the rights of every man. I am a real American. Fight for what's right. Fight for your life. When it comes crashing down and it hurts inside, you gotta take a stand. I can't live.
If you don't know where that song's from, you obviously didn't watch wrestling in the late 80s, early 90s. That's Hulk Hogan's entrance theme. But I just want to talk a little bit about America. I am American. I know I have a lot of foreign listeners. And I love America. I'm glad I was born here. But, you know, I'm a young American. I'm in my early 20s. I'll be 22 next month. And I start thinking about the future of America. I look at the state of America right now. And what do I have to look forward as a, you know, a young American looking to the future? And the future doesn't look that great right now. Our economy is in a recession. The U.S. dollar is worth less now than, I believe, ever. It's less than the Canadian and even the Swiss franc. We've been in a war far, far too long. We went in for the wrong reasons. I supported the war in the beginning because I, you know, I believed what they were saying. There's WMDs, you know, there's nuclear things. But once you find out that's not true, it's kind of like, well, what did we really go in there for? But it's not really about that. It's about what do I have to look forward to as a young American? And, you know, it's hard because it looks like there will not be any Social Security for my generation. The baby boomers will use up all the broken-ass Social Security money. So I'll pay into Social Security for the next X amount of years and get nothing out of it. The job market is declining. As many people of my generation will be in lots of debt because of rising college costs. Healthcare costs are huge, and just because you have pre-existing conditions, you won't even be able to get third-party insurance. So my girlfriend has a thyroid problem, so she will never be able to get insurance in this country unless she gets it through like a corporation or a business. I take Lexapro for, you know, anger and depression, that sort of thing. Because I take Lexapro, and I even take some heartburn pills, like some, you know, Prilosec OTC and that sort of shit, that will deter me from getting health care. And, you know, it's just depressing because you look at the generation that's in power now, as my parents' generation, the, you know, 60s and 70s generation. Well, they were born in the 50s, but the 60s and 70s, they were the generation that wasn't happy with the establishment, what their parents did. And that generation just proceeded to fuck everything up. I mean, you look at America right now, gas is about $3.35 a gallon, $4 a gallon for diesel, which is, Bill Clinton, I think it went from $1.10 to $1.30, and under Bush it's gone from $1.30 to $3.30 a gallon, which is, you know, just plain fucked up. So, what do I have to look forward to? No Social Security, broken healthcare system, declining job market, and lots of outsourcing. So, you know, basically all businesses now, there are no 401ks. They'll provide you a 401k plan, but they will not match it anymore. And they won't give you a retirement or a pension anymore. Hardly any companies do that in America. So what is my generation to do? They won't be in any sort of political positions for, you know, 10 to 20 years. What sort of more damage will be caused between now and then? It just seems our political system is so broken, the two-party system. Because basically, you know, you can never really say or do the right thing. Like, you can never say what you really want to say. You have to say, like, middle-of-the-road shit, or, you know, people have a big problem with you. 81% of our country does not like the way America's going. We think we're not on the right course. I just seen a poll on MSNBC. But yet, 50% of Americans will vote for John McCain, in which John McCain wants to do the same policies that Bush is doing, which are obviously, you know, pretty shitty. And, you know, I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm more of a moderate type of guy. I felt myself more of a Republican. I believe in, you know, lower taxes, smaller government, sticking to the Constitution, that sort of thing, which are Republican principles. But, you know, what Republicans practice that anymore, except for, like, Ron Paul, which, you know, I supported Ron Paul. But Bush is not really a Republican president. He's spent $4 trillion. We're $4 trillion in debt. We spend $12 billion a week in Iraq, which is just, you know, killing our currency value and making us just go more and more into debt. But he's not a real Republican. He times the government by 10. He spends more than the last 20 presidents combined. So when people are like, oh, the Republicans got us into this, you know, it's not the Republicans necessarily. It's just the religious weird assholes that got us into this. But, you know, I digress, whatever. You know, I'm not super for Barack Obama. I lean more towards him. But I don't like a lot of things he does about taxes and certain things about, like, gun control and things like that I'm not in favor of. But I would take him over McCain. But it's not really about that. It's about what my generation has to look forward to. And the outlook is very grim. And I don't really know what to do, you know what I mean? They always say you can change the world, and obviously you can. Just look what George Bush did in this short period of time. But, you know, I'm just a young American who doesn't know where my country's going, because it's not going in the right direction right now, and, you know, I'm not sure how my generation is going to change all of the sins of the previous generations.
America,
America, fuck yeah.
Forward through all that kind of political type of stuff that I don't dig, that's totally fine, but I thank everybody who's listening once again. Like I said, without, you know, big, huge issues coming up again, I should be out, you know, at least every 2 weeks or one time a month. We'll really see how it goes, but I'll try to get the shows out. I've redesigned the website a little bit. It's a little bit user-friendly, a little bit better looking. If you're interested in reading what comics I'm reading, on the main page of the website, I will be putting up this little widget from a comic book website where I put all the comics I'm currently reading on there, so you can check out those, you can read reviews from them from other people. So I hope everybody enjoys the new little website layout. If you are interested in comics, I believe Jake Harold, he's been on the show before, he was the Pussy of the Week, many, many episodes. Good. Very easy. He's a good guy. I think he's close to getting his second issue of Tards out, which is his creator owned and based comic book about retarded kids who think they're superheroes. So everybody should check that out. I think it's Oh, fuck. I don't remember what the web address is. But just go to the links page on BornInThe80s.com, and it'll be right in there. And that about does it for this show. And until next time, America's a great place, but we have a lot of problems.
The sun is gone and the flowers